Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Doors down. Oh, all the way down and then back up. Such a good song. Three Doors Down is your artist of the day. Sorry, I didn't mean to pot him down, but when I played it too long, the program directors get mad, and then they make me pay them $2.
What was the exact figure?
It was $2.38.
That seems a little high.
It was for Earth, Wind, and Fire's September.
September.
We played it too long, and we got a bill from ASCAP, and the program director at the time, Neil Larimore, called me into his office, yelled at me, and then made me pay him $2.38.
Because the licensing people kicked your ASCAP.
That's right.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You threw 10 stated. Quarters at him and said, keep the change.
I gave him $3 and I said, keep the change.
That does seem
better. It would have been better if it was quarters.
That does seem really high, though, for playing one song one time.
We played it pretty long.
I know, but I mean, you can buy the song outright for your own private use for what, $1 on the internet?
All I know is I hear Parks, which drives me crazy. When people yell at me, and I'm not above being criticized. God knows.
But don't yell.
But I'm not 5 years old. You don't yell at me. I'm a grown man. Treat me with a modicum of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls me into the office, and he slaps this piece of paper down just like this. He goes, what is this? And I go, I don't know. I hadn't seen it. And he goes, I just got a bill from ASCAP. And I go, okay. He goes, you apparently played Earth, Wind, and Fire September too long. And I go, okay. And he goes, well, it cost us $2.38.
I want my $2.
I swear to God. I mean, it was like the kid out of Better Off Dead on the bicycle, the newspaper boy. And he goes, you owe me $2.38.
And you paid.
I don't carry my wallet in my pockets. I walked out to the newsroom, got my book bag, pulled out my wallet, grabbed $3. I walked into his office, slapped it on the desk, and I go, keep the change. Jerk.
How did the rest of your working relationship with him go?
He's not here anymore, is he?
Downhill from there.
Mm-hmm.
Downhill from there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say we're not friends on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We don't follow each other on Twitter.
That's okay. He hates
me. And quite frankly, I don't give a hot red damn what happens to him.
He hates me too, so it's all good.
So he's not a good person to me. So
he doesn't like me either, so we're good.
Bye. I don't mind airing a little dirty laundry.
I was going to say, dang, you just let it all out.
Neil Larimore, you know, God bless him, but I mean, that guy.
I think we've all had that one boss.
He and I went from friend to foe.
Yeah, that just. It did not end.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody has one.
Let's just say when I can't get into too much of the HR here, when his employment here was no longer viable, let me rephrase that.
When the key card no longer worked.
I wasn't disappointed.
when he was positively transitioned.
You mentioned, Will, you're not friends on Facebook. I wonder how many people are friends with their bosses or former bosses on social media.
I'm blocked on Facebook from my faux manager and blocked on Twitter from him as well.
Who's your faux manager?
Guy by the name of Roger Hudson.
Roger Hudson. Where's old Roger?
Roger Hudson.
Last I knew, he was working in state government in Colorado. He was...
What did Roger Hudson do to you, man?
Well, Roger Hudson was just in general not only very rude to everyone in the newsroom, he liked to flaunt a certain medical condition around us to basically make it clear that he was not fireable for anything that he would be doing.
Oh.
Did he work at KTRH?
He did.
Yeah.
That was where these incidents happened. Yeah. I guess.
And in Denver, was it at the CBS station?
Were you once friends, Will, online and now you're not?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. You know what should have been my first clue was I showed up for work my very first day at the radio station there in Houston, and he was suspended for sexually harassing one of the reporters.
Oh, my gosh.
On the first day?
On my first day there. Oh. You know, keep in mind, okay, he was the news director. I had been hired to be his assistant. And that didn't go well anyway. But, you know, since he is the news director and I'm the assistant, I do kind of, you know, report to him. I show up first day to meet my new boss, and he's not here this week because of a personnel matter. Mm-hmm. And I found out after the fact it was...
I wonder what that could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Dana?
I have been blessed to have amazing bosses. Now, I have some bosses that I like much more than others. Except one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we thinking about the same one?
But I've had a lot of them. I mean, if you look at...
Are we thinking about RD?
Yeah, even with three... I've only worked three places. But those cover a lot of GMs and a lot of news directors.
That's true.
And I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 of them... Let me rephrase that. A handful out of 10 are amazing, including the current office. And I'm, you know,
No, that's fair. Alan First is a fantastic...
Another handful were fine... You know, I don't need to be friends with you on Facebook.
Do you remember
you're fine.
The day that RD over at Channel 5 came in? You were 9 months pregnant.
I was 10 months pregnant.
And he wanted to talk to you about your footwear.
He said, we need to have a conversation about your footwear. That's always when I say I wish 20-year-old Dana had been 40-year-old Dana. Because I was just sitting at my desk. I wasn't going to court. I wasn't out. I was in that building for the day.
And you were overdue.
And I gave birth. I left the next day. I think I gave birth 2 days later. I'm still mad about that story.
You should be.
But at the time, you know, you're thinking, okay, I'll go get heels. So yeah, we are not friends on social media in any way, shape, or form.
If he was in this room right now, would you kick him?
I would be stressed out if he was in this room.
Why?
Because I just, that's
because
me.
Because he was such a tyrant?
I would just, it would stress me out. Yes. It would stress me out. And here's what's interesting.
I would kick him for you.
He liked me. He loved the job that I did.
He didn't like your footwear.
And I still was.
So no, he liked your work. He didn't like you.
Yeah. I don't think he liked people in general. There was very much a wall in between professional and, you know, this wasn't the kind of boss you go to dinner with.
Yeah, he was a fan of your output, not of you.
We are not friends on Facebook because one day, it was just a random day, I saw one of his posts and I could feel the anxiety.
The tension.
Just from seeing, and this was like 9 years later, something stupid. And I'm like, why am I friends with him on Facebook? Wow. I've unfriended two of my former bosses and he was one of the two.
I heard horror stories about RD over at Channel 5.
I think we've all had that one boss, and some people can just deal with it, and they just, it's my job, I'm not going to worry about it. I do believe if he walked in the room, I would have anxiety. And he and I got along. Can you imagine the people that didn't get along with him?
You got along with him because you acquiesced to him.
Yeah. He ruled by, what do you call that, fire. I mean, he was the...
Ruled by intimidation.
Yes, yeah. He was that boss.
Yeah, he had a hammer fist.
And I cannot... have that, like, I just, my personality cannot have that boss.
576-7798. Will Stare, Sam, Stevie, Dana, right? I'm Scott Parks on KMBC.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Did you guys see the clip from Wheel of Fortune?
Yes.
This guy goes on. Big Bad John. And, you know, every night, Pat Sajak will say, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Epic.
This one went strangely weird.
Wheel of Fortune has gone viral
this guy.
When host Pat Sajak got an unexpected answer from contestant Blair when he talks about his family.
Hello, Blair.
Hello.
Blair Davis, Cardiff, California. Own the trucking business, it says here.
Small trucking business in San Diego.
Good for you. And talk about your family.
I've been trapped in a loveless marriage for the last 12 years to an old battle axe named Kim. She cursed my life with three stepchildren named Star, RJ, and Ryan, and I have one rotten grandson.
Okay, that went well.
Okay, now when I first saw the headline, I fell for it. And I thought, oh my goodness, someone in their introduction just crapped all over their family. They do go on to explain that, like, well, you're joking, right? And he says yes.
Yay! No wonder you came here. You just wanted to get away from everybody. I know you're being facetious.
Absolutely. I love them like nobody's business.
I'll bet you do.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be...
I don't know.
I'm trapped in a loveless marriage with a battle axe.
Truthfully, I feel like that would have been way funnier if he'd meant it.
Oh, yeah.
If he'd have been like, no, that's really the way that it is.
No, seriously, Pat, I can't stand her.
Mm-hmm.
But
then you know they would never have aired it.
So if you win big money here today, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to get a divorce and buy a house by myself.
I believe there's a beach somewhere with my
Live
name
under
on
an
it.
Assumed identity.
I'm going to flee, Pat.
And I'll take the rest on a gift certificate. Thank you.
It's actually really good.
It's memorable.
A story here from the Kansas City Star, so you know it's true. After months of research and preparation... Then more than 18 hours spent uploading documents to the state's medical marijuana application portal, Stacy Glazier is anxiously waiting. The company that the 52-year-old Kansas City native formed with her older brother, Mandela Corp, is now in the running for four of the coveted licenses that Missouri will hand out for medical marijuana-related businesses. A third-party blind scorer hired by the state will soon begin evaluating more than 2,100 bids submitted by applicants. Winners will be announced at the end of the year. Winners.
We're going to come back to that. Third-party blind scorer.
The hopefuls range from marijuana behemoths already operating in other states to entrepreneurs trying to launch new ventures. In two congressional districts that cover most of Kansas City, there are 626 applicants for licenses that span all five categories, according to a list from the state of Missouri. Those categories include cultivation facilities where marijuana will be grown, manufacturing sites where marijuana-infused products will be made, testers, ooh, I want to be a tester, testers to examine the product for abnormalities.
You want to do quality control. Yeah, that's what you want to do.
And transporters to deliver the goods. The state is required to approve at least 10 testing facilities, 60 commercial growers, and 86 manufacturers. Apparently, let's see here. About 150 applications for dispensary licenses have been submitted for locations in Kansas City proper. Glazier is one of those. She is contending for three more licenses at locations in Northmore, Blue Springs, and Liberty. Okay.
Do you find it interesting that they call them winners?
Yeah, that was the word I got stuck on.
Because I've been calling this the golden ticket since day one. If you get one of these...
It's like a lottery ticket.
It is the golden ticket. Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a multi-million dollar business.
As I was reading the story, the word winners really stuck out to me.
Well, what else would you call it? I mean, considering it was essentially a lottery, was it not?
Well, no.
I mean, it wasn't a...
It's not a lottery because there's a third party that's going to evaluate all their applications.
A third party blind scorer. Mm-hmm.
So it's technically a beauty contest.
Well...
I don't know.
Well, here's what I will tell you.
I just don't know what else to call it.
They raked in... I looked this up. I don't know if this is the total number... In the early days of just the application fees, $4.2 million.
Oh,
that's
sure.
Just in fees to try and submit
Yeah.
So these people have 10 grand on the line, 6 grand, 5 grand.
Somebody just wrote in, and 6797, call in, please. I'm a dispensary hopeful as well. It is nerve-wracking. 576-7798. 576-7798.
So much that we need to share. So send a
That's
smile
a jam.
And show you care.
I'll give a little bit. You know, I keep a couple, 3 water bottles, and by water bottles, I mean big jugs of water, at my house. And I keep a bunch of canned food at my house, but...
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But I'm not a prepper. It's like in case we ever get another October surprise snowstorm.
Right. Yeah. You're prepared for a couple of days. A
couple days locked in the house.
You're not one of those, I have a year of MREs in my basement types.
Dana.
I keep going. I know where you're going with this, but keep going.
A family who spent 9 years on a farm, quote, waiting for the end of time.
Oh, dear.
Have been discovered by police in the Netherlands after one of them turned up at a local pub.
I mean, wouldn't you?
A man, 58 years old, and 6 young adults aged 18 to 25 were living on the farm in the province of Drenthe. The family was found after the eldest of the children ordered beer at a bar in a nearby village. He then told staff that he needed help. Quote from the police. We found 6 people living in a small space in the house, which could be locked, but wasn't a basement. The older man has been arrested, according to the family. He is the father of the 6 children. It was not clear whether they had been voluntarily kept there.
I'm going to go with no. Voluntary.
I love the fact that the whole thing basically busted up when one of them's like, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to go have a pint.
Going to the pub.
Local reports describe the man as a handyman. His name is Joseph. He's originally from Austria. Says the local mayor, I've never seen anything like this. He revealed that some of the family had not been registered locally and also indicated that the 58-year-old was not the father. A public broadcaster said the family had been living in isolation, waiting for the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Bar owner Chris Westerbeek described how a man came in, ordered 5 beers.
I bet he did.
And drank all of them.
In rapid succession? He'd be justified if he did.
He had long hair, a dirty beard, wore old clothes, and looked confused. He said he'd never been to school and had not been to the barber in 9 years. Said he had brothers and sisters who lived at the farm. Uh-huh.
They were waiting for the end of the world. Now, we're going to assume...
Didn't wait long enough.
If dad is the one holding them...
Nice.
He has to go to prison.
Okay.
Unless they try and say this is some mental health thing. I don't care if the door was locked or not. When you've been locked in with somebody like that for however many years, that whole... Stockholm syndrome thing kicks in and you're not going to necessarily just walk away. There's no way those people were there voluntarily.
Do you have no preparations at home?
My parents do.
What do they?
They're not preppers, but they've got canned goods downstairs.
I have canned goods above my sink. I have enough to last. And by the way, don't even think. If the end of the world does come, you're not welcome at my house.
Hello?
You know I G.I. Joe that place. I have 2...
Well, yeah, Dana comes knocking at the door and you hit the floor.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. Yeah, yeah, grab the gun, hit the floor.
That's what I do when somebody knocks on the door. I have 2 big, gigantic things of water that are above the stove. And above my fridge, I have... 2 cabinets filled with canned food.
Okay. That's not creepy prepper to me.
No, that's survive an emergency
prepper. My mom and dad have more than that.
Like how much?
They're knocking up against, you know, they've got some stuff down there.
How long would it take them to go through their supply?
Am I there with all of my family?
No.
Give me that damn food.
If it's just the two of them, how long do you think it's going to take them to deplete the supply?
Well, they have enough Mahomes Magic Crunch to last a lifetime.
Right. We do know that. I don't think they're not preppers, Scott.
We're about to find out.
They have like two big Walmart plastic shelf units full. Like the big, tall, black shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Full?
Yeah, I was down there one day and I go, what are you? Do you know something I don't?
Your mom's your emergency contact.
She's one of them. That's for the kidnap button.
Okay.
She gets the call.
She's down in the basement.
She's probably down in the basement prepping.
I forgot it's Wednesday. She's drinking.
Well, is that what that is?
This is her bar day, yes.
Oh.
How much stuff do you have to... Yeah, no. How much... I love that message, though. How much stuff do you have to have before you cross over into a little paranoid?
Longer than 1 week.
There's a difference between being prepared and being a prepper.
I agree.
And I am prepared.
I'd say 1 week is probably the line.
I would argue, I mean, I could probably stretch it out longer than a week, but I would be starving my you-know-what off.
Right. Yeah, that's not what I'm talking. I'm saying if you have a normal supply for a week,
yeah,
that's probably the line.
And I get it all at the $1 aisle at the Price Chopper in Roland Park. It's like pinto beans and, I mean, it's like a can of salsa.
But have you always had that, or was it just after The Walking Dead aired that you started stockpiling stuff?
I've never seen The Walking Dead. It was after October of 2000, whatever, when we had that horrible snowstorm.
Okay.
And from that point on, I've always stocked 2 jugs of water and a cabinet full of canned food.
I know you laugh at me, but I do want to let you know the CDC website once crashed after The Walking Dead inspired preppers. I wasn't making a joke when I said, did you start doing this after The Walking Dead? A lot of people started doing this after The Walking Dead.
Text line, I also do emergency management, and it's kind of a hobby. A hobby?
To do what? To stock?
To do the prepper stuff.
How long could you go if the power was cut tonight?
Sure.
20 inches of snow tonight.
Yeah.
Nobody can get anywhere. How long could you last?
See, we don't have a dedicated stock of that sort of thing.
All right, so you're dead tomorrow.
Well, no. I was going to say, we don't have a dedicated supply of that, but there's a lot of canned goods in the house. We could probably be fine for a week.
There is a prepper quiz, and I think I know the answer to most of these, but I'll ask you, okay? So if in your car, play along. What is the biggest danger in a post-crisis survival situation?
Lack of food.
Run out of water.
You're close, but no.
Air?
Ammunition?
It's illness from contaminated water. Because most people, what they do is fill up the bathtub. Well,
that's a bad idea.
You're going to get crypto, whatever you call it, sporid, whatever you call it.
I think it's called shigellosis.
And then you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
What are the most important survival items?
Water.
No.
Gun.
It's food? Either water purification device.
Well, this is for long-term stuff, right?
Water and a knife.
Yeah, so you can stab the people coming in the
water
front door.
Water purification and a tarp for cover, or a knife and a lighter.
I don't need a tarp. I got a house.
I bet you it's water and a knife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pull this up and we'll play because there are some
precious precious metals so you can conduct all of your barter that way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give them your guns or MREs.
What is the biggest danger in a stranded while alone survival situation? A, your attitude.
Intruder.
B, the no, that's not even on here. Hmm. B, the elements. C, hunger, or D, thirst.
Attitude.
Stranded on your own?
See, and I would have guessed thirst.
I would have said thirst.
Number 4, which is not one of the 4 most common causes of preventable death in the wilderness.
Oh, this is the wilderness.
No,
have a house.
Not necessarily.
This particular question is wilderness.
I'm going to go back and get the results, and then I'll tell you what the answers are. I am certain your number one danger is illness from contaminated water.
Sure.
It ain't somebody breaking in and trying to steal your MRE.
Somebody wrote in, I am supplied for 1 year, and I have enough ammunition for myself.
Call
and
in!
3592, call in.
Don't give away the number. People will come take his stuff.
Yes, Alex.
I didn't give out the whole number. I just gave out the last four.
Yes, Alex Jones, please call in.
I'm set for 1 year, and I have enough ammunition to supply myself and one other.
Wow.
Yeah, if the world is really coming to an end, ammunition and guns is going to be the hottest commodity because you can get anything with
that. You are wrong. It is clean
and
water.
And protect what you have with that.
Yeah, correct. Make no mistake. You can. That is truly gold. If you have ammo in the end of times,
Because you can trade that
for literally anything.
Can you survive on, like, bathtub water, honestly, before you get sick and die? It's the illness that's going to kill you.
Probably 2 weeks.
Ooh, see, I think that's too long.
I don't know, Dana. I don't drink the tub water.
Mm-hmm. I've never done that either.
Okay, prepper.
If you have a pot and a way to make fire, you can sanitize
boil
any
it.
Water.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Just boil it and then it's safe again.
Right.
Yep.
576-7798. The Art Bell Show will continue in just a moment. Welcome back to The Art Bell Show. You're on KMBZ.
I'm still waiting for my quiz results, and I hate doing those because I feel like it gets into your personal stuff when they want your email. Anyway, so I asked Scott to look up, is it true that water is the number one thing that will kill you and that purification tablets are the number one thing that you need?
No. And I think your parents may actually be preppers. This is the top prepper gear. 21 big ticket items ideal for preparedness.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to read all 21. It gets a little tedious. Number one, a year-long supply of long shelf survival food.
Okay.
That sounds like what your parents have in their
garage.
Sort of,
yeah.
Number two, a countertop water filter system. Number three, a food dehydrator.
Oh.
Number four, and I never saw this one coming, but it makes sense, a crossbow. Ammunition runs out.
Okay.
You can always get the arrows back.
Go get the arrow back. After you've shot it at someone?
Or something.
Something, yeah.
Eat. My arrow back!
Well, the deer is not going to have a problem with you taking your arrow back after you make venison. Number five, a reverse osmosis water filter.
Oh.
Number six, this was the weird one, solar generator kit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Duh. Yeah.
Of course.
Gotta power that cell phone.
And other things.
Portable outdoor solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Portable solar.
What are you going to do? Are you going to carry those around?
No, we're going to keep them in the yard.
With your arrows and your bow.
We're going to keep them in the backyard while we guard it with our crossbow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Portable solar cooker. And number nine, a wood-burning stove. Oh, and don't forget the vacuum sealing system. That's how you keep the deer meat fresh.
Mm-hmm. After you've killed it with your arrow.
And skinned it.
And dehydrated it with your food dehydrator.
By the way, rifle shows up at number 11.
I haven't heard anyone even mention a food dehydrator since that was all the rage in the early 90s.
Well, you got to dehydrate that food.
I know.
And then just add water.
I just haven't heard anyone even mention it since.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe then that's because I'm not a prepper.
Hang on. Doug in Richmond. Alex, we'll get to you in a second. Doug in Richmond, what up?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff you mentioned there, what we get. We got two dehydrators, two safes full of guns. I don't know, probably 10, 20,000 rounds of ammunition. Got probably 200 cans of Spam, a bunch of military stuff.
All right, we get it. You're prepared. Doug, what are you preparing for?
Well, my father-in-law was a Marine Corps sniper, okay? and he started all this. He was figuring we would have World War III or we would have a major disaster. So we notified all of our family that all this is there. Personally, I'm waiting for the rapture. Oh, when God comes. But that's what they're waiting on.
Okay, you're waiting on the rapture. They're waiting on World War III?
Yep. But if he decides to tarry, I got plenty of food. The biggest thing was the women was toilet paper.
How much toilet paper do you have?
There's probably 3,000 rolls.
Wow!
You have 3,000 rolls of toilet paper in your prepper kit?
There's a container that holds it. One of those containers you set on a trailer.
And are these the regular rolls or the super jumbo, you know, Econo rolls?
One ply or two.
Yeah, is it one ply or two?
Well, it's the stuff that we would put in a motorhome so it deteriorates rapidly.
Mm.
Is it one ply or two, though? That's the important part.
Probably two ply, knowing my wife.
Thank goodness. Yeah, right. If I'm gonna survive that, I don't want to live if I got to hang out with one ply for the rest of my days.
I don't want to live in a world where I have years of toilet paper stocked away somewhere.
Thousands of rolls.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, but it's extra bad if it's one ply. Can we agree?
Do you hide that from the teenagers? Because you know right around age 15, they're going to want to take that out at like 11 p.m. on some summer night. And just TP bomb the hell out of somebody's house. Yeah.
At least you won't have a problem on fajita night.
I mean, if it's one ply, you might as well stock sandpaper.
Okay.
Love that he said, knowing my wife.
Knowing my wife, it better be two ply.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.